I really appreciated the song service this morning. I've enjoyed it, and I enjoyed Brother Joe's humble prayer. You can always tell there's a difference between praying to the people and praying for the people, and Brother Joe prays for the people, and I'm very appreciative of his sincerity and humbleness with which he approaches prayer. I wasn't here on the first Sunday, and I want to thank the church for excusing me on that day. That's about twice a year I go to meetings for my clients at Washington, D.C. in that area, and Brother Stephen Bloyd is the pastor at north of Baltimore at Bel Air, Maryland, and he's also in charge of the fellowship they have once a month in New York City, and so he always tries to time me when I come that I can go up in New York City and then speak at his church there. And I did that on first Sunday, and I mean it's Saturday before the first Sunday and then the first Sunday, and I appreciate it. We had a good time. Both Steve and I did fellowship, and I flew into the Baltimore airport right during the time when the riots were going on. He picked me up at the airport. We didn't go downtown, though, but we picked him up, and he picked me up. And about 3 o'clock at the airport, and we started driving, and he usually drives to New York, but we just worried the traffic seemed a little bit heavy. It was on a Friday afternoon. The traffic seemed a little bit heavy, so we stopped at Wilmington. We just made a decision, stopped at Wilmington, and got on the train, the Amtrak. We rode the Amtrak the west way through. We went right through the area of Philadelphia that day and coming back the next day right where they had the accident last week. So we were 1 week before they had that major accident there, that train derailment, and we went right through that exact same. We were on that train. On that train that derailed, we were on that same scheduled train. I don't know if it was the exact same train or not, but that same numbered train ride that went through Philadelphia that when this accident occurred. So anyway, we enjoyed it, had a good time. They have service there. They've had to move it around as they find different locations and ones they can afford. And this one they had in the Baptist Church, actually the First Baptist Church of New York. It's the oldest Baptist church there. Their first pastor was Elder John Gano. They got all their pastors' pictures on the wall. He's the only one with the title of elder. He was pastor there before we had the split among the Baptists in early 1800s. He was the chaplain to George Washington, and he baptized George Washington in the Potomac River. Now, George Washington had always attended church with his wife, which I can't remember, a Lutheran or Episcopal, but he never joined the church. But during the Revolutionary War, he selected Elder Gano as his chaplain in the Revolutionary War, and he had Elder Gano baptize him in the Potomac River, and they've got a painting of that there in the church. And then when the war ended, Washington had him offer the prayer that ended, you know, supposedly the end of the war, and he prayed, thank the Lord for the peace. And they've got a painting of him also doing that in front of the troops where he did those two prayers. And he came back to New York, and he left after pastoring that church for several years. He left and went down into the South and went to what's known as the Cahokia Association and preached for them. That was clearly Old Baptist and still is. And so he was truly an Old Baptist minister. He went on and pastored a church in Kentucky and died and is buried there. His grandson has a house cabin in Dallas. It's in the old city park, and they made it a historical marker of the Gano home there. So that was the church, and they've got a room called the Gano Room, and that's where we rented out for that service. It's just a side room to their main church. But it's nice, and we had a good service there, and then we rode the train back down, went to his church on Sunday morning there in Bel Air, and then I went on to my meeting. So but anyway, I've enjoyed that, and I feel a burden to do that, and I've had a good time and developed some fellowship with those people that attend that, and they come in from Connecticut and New Jersey. And, of course, for them to come down to Connecticut, you think that's a couple states away. It's less than an hour. It's less, you know. So it's, you know, everything up there is, their towns are quite a bit closer. You can go to Washington from Washington up to Maine, and you'll go through 5 states, but it's a shorter drive than it is for me to go from Lubbock to Dallas. So, but it's just so much different up there, and you have an appreciation for that. Anyway, I really enjoyed that, and I appreciate the church allowing me to skip my appointment on the first Sunday. We are right between last Sunday was what we call Mother's Day, and then coming up in June is Father's Day. And we're right in the middle between those, and so that subject is on my mind about mothers and fathers, and That's what I want to talk to you about. And I'm in the book of Proverbs this morning. I'm going to be in the first chapter of Proverbs primarily. I'm going to quote a couple other places, but where I'll be speaking primarily will be the book of Proverbs. We have a day, and of course we have a day that was created called Mother's Day. It's in May, and then one for Father's Day in June. And of course, I'm convinced those were created as business enterprises because they make a lot of money in the flower business and the candy business and in the new card business, and I'm sure in the tie business for Father's Day. So, but those are good days, and you know, we know them, and that's the number one. I do work for a number of telephone companies. That's the largest day of the most phone calls is on Mother's Day, with everybody calling home talking to their mothers and their grandmothers. So we pretty much commercialize those days, but it's kind of like we speak about Christmas when, you know, that's kind of observed on the calendar as the birth of Christ, and Easter is the death of Christ. We don't believe those necessarily occurred on those days, but it's a good time to worship, but those events. But we ought to be doing it year round. Shouldn't be dedicated just to one day. It's like the death of Christ was the most significant event for us because it gave us eternal salvation. So that's something we ought to worship and think about every day. Same way we ought to with our fathers and our mothers. We ought to think about them every day. And in fact, that's the sixth commandment: honor thy father, mother and father. So we have a commandment from the Lord, one of the Ten Commandments, making it that way. And so that event shouldn't be held to just one day each a year. Something we ought to think about every day is honoring our mother and our father. And we ought to do that when we're alive, when they're alive, but we also ought to do that even when they're deceased. It's something that doesn't change. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning, about mothers and fathers, and it talks about that in a few of the verses here in Proverbs. Before I get into this, Proverbs is one of these books that's kind of in the middle of the Bible. It's in the middle of the Old Testament. You have all the Old Testament history from Genesis and Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And then we get into where the nation of Israel was traveling, and Joshua and the judges and 1 and 2 Samuel and Kings. You have those history there of the time when the nation was in Judea. And then we get over here and we get into the books that we call the books of poetry. Psalms, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Those five books are called the books of poetry because not necessarily because they rhyme, but because they're basic general advice to us more so than it is historical in nature, like the nation of Israel or the history of Christ and his ministry over in the New Testament. We're in the book of Proverbs, and of course that was written by Solomon, King Solomon. Let's talk a little bit before we get into this about, you read a book, you like to know that the author knows what he's talking about, has some expertise in the area. You know, if you go down the bookstore, one of the largest selling group of books are the how-to books. You know, we'll go almost down and everybody will go down and buy a how-to book on just about anything, try to figure out how to do something. Well, one of the main things you ought to know is, does the person who wrote the book have any clue what he's talking about, or is he just doing it to make money? And some of these how-to books, you'll read them and you go, I learned that in the first grade. I didn't need to buy a book on that. So you'd have to wonder, do you have any expertise in this area? If you would, turn back with me to, those of you have it, or you don't have to, I'll go there. First Kings. First Kings, I want to look when Solomon was named king. First Kings, second chapter, in verse 10, 11, and 12, it talks about King David, who we know was considered a great king, great nation king. The Lord really blessed him. He is dying. He shows him in verse 10, he dies. In verse 12, it says, and then set Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was greatly established. Solomon was known to have the greatest kingdom ever in the history of the world. King David, of course, had this great relationship with the Lord, and the Lord tremendously blessed him in building up the nation of Israel. But when Solomon took over, he took over and he made the nation of Israel the greatest kingdom ever in the history of the world. We hear about all these kingdoms that take places and kings and queens, and we see the grandeur of these kings and how great they were. And you know, there are shows on TVs all the time about this. But let's look and see how big and how glorified was Solomon's kingdom. We get over here, and let me see. Kings. I don't want to go too far here. Kings. Let's go to Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon becomes king, and he's worried because he's pretty young. He's probably in his early 20s. And he's king, and he doesn't know how to be a king. Verse 3 of chapter 3, it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed burnt incense in high places, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there." Solomon went to pay homage to the Lord and to make sacrifices. In verse 5, it says, "In a dream that night, the Lord asked Solomon, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' The Lord said, 'Solomon, what can I do for you?'" It's kind of like having a genie in a bottle. You get a wish. What wish do you want? You know, and I'm going, boy, I wish I had that opportunity. I think, well, Lord, make me rich, number one. Love to be rich. And get rid of all my enemies. And let me have a long life. You know, let me drink from the eternal life fountain so that I could live long. I could have a real lot of money and get rid of all people that criticize me and hate me. Well, what did Solomon pray for? Get over here in verse 9. Solomon said, okay, here's what I want. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Lord, give me wisdom so that I can be a good king to the people. Give me wisdom so that I can rule over them fairly, know right from wrong and good from bad." He said, "Lord, just make me wise so that I can do good for your people, so that I can take care of this people you have put under my control and command." Verse 10, "And the speech pleased the Lord." Lord liked what Solomon asked for. In verse 11, he said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing," and says, "thou hast not asked for thyself a long life." You didn't ask to live a long time. "Neither did you ask to be rich. And neither did you ask for me to get rid of your enemies, to take the life of your enemies. But instead, you asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment so that you could be a good king to the people. That's all you asked for." The Lord said, most people, like Don, would have asked for money, and they'd ask to get rid of my enemies, you know, and let me live a long time. You didn't ask for those. You asked for wisdom so that you could rule over my people